Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, a subject, in general, obviously this subject very dear to you of estate planning, but even a double dear is the businesses in estate planning.
Right.
You're a small business owner, and this subject's got you fired up this week.
A little bit, yes.
Because we said that last time that you really haven't done a series dedicated just to this subject. So.
Yeah, and I am a small business owner. My wife says that if air ceased, I would still survive because I probably survive off a small business instead of air. So, yeah, this topic is a little bit of double duty here for passion, estate planning, and we get to talk about business. And last week we started out the whole discussion with business owners and why is it difficult to get them to the table to do estate planning. And I talked about that they always have this duality going on. They have this passion for business. They have a passion for family, hopefully a passion for God. And all of these competing passions make it difficult for them to pull apart these emotions and pull apart this priority pecking order of what do I put my attention to at this specific time. And every small business owner knows we need to protect our family. And small businesses are also very desirous to protect their small business. And proper business structure and how do we protect them is a large part of what we do when we talk about estate planning, because estate planning is kind of the wrapper around everything. Estate planning touches every single thing that we own, and including small businesses. So estate planning should protect us during our lifetime. It should protect those that we leave behind when we die. And it should also protect our assets. And for small business owners, they have bled, they have breathed, they have given all of their emotion and energy to build this thing called a small business. And so it's not just a bank account. It is something that they are emotionally attached to. I really don't know too many people that are emotionally attached to their bank account or to their bank. But small business owners, they are emotionally attached to their business. And I made mention that oftentimes I almost have to treat their small business like an additional child. That's the mentality that oftentimes I have to go into the meeting with, because that's how important it is. Not that they would sacrifice a child for their business, but it is that deep of an emotional connection that they have given that much. They have actually sacrificed time with family, with friends, with church. They have sacrificed so much to build this entity and build this small business that now we have to wrap it and protect it. And we have to protect it for the use and the long-term benefit of family oftentimes. These are difficult things to cross over.
We mentioned, too, last time, almost similar, although it's a little different, is churches. Pastors feel this
yes.
way, too. People who have built a ministry. Maybe that's its own subject, but it's a similar kind of passion.
It is.
And because a church can be very much like the baby of this pastor.
Absolutely.
A lot of times pastors, they almost seem like dads, you know.
Absolutely.
Depending on the structure of the church, but
Many pastors have forfeited their families in the name or in the sake of ministry, and so have many small business owners.
Yeah.
And I even mentioned that actually – pastors run a small business. It just happens to be called a church, and it's called a nonprofit organization. But that is a small business. And yes, and I am as much called to being a small business owner as a pastor is called to be a minister in their church. So I have a sense of calling to be a small business owner. It just happens to be wrapped into a thing called being an attorney for me. But that is my calling at this point in time in my life. And so, yes, you have these senses and this attachment to your business, and it's really difficult to pull that away and pull time away and energy and thought life towards an estate planning. Mm. But where business owners do relate, where business owners do connect, is when we start using the word, but we have to protect the business and your family simultaneously. Mm. And that's language that most business owners can actually say, I understand that. Yes, I need to protect my family and I need to protect my business. How do I do that simultaneously? Mm. And that's called estate planning. It is the wrapper around it all. And so we need to have a discussion about businesses specifically, and how do we protect and how do we keep things moving forward when we have a small business owner.
Okay, well then this week on this show, we'll start getting into when does someone need to use a business structure per se versus maybe someone who just owns a lot of rental property, or what's different about these kinds of estate planning options.
Yeah. So when does someone need to use a business structure?
What do you mean by when does someone need to use a business structure for their estate plan?
Yeah. And so
what is a business structure?
fair enough. Oh. And so there are more formal ways to create a business. Okay. And I guess maybe I've reversed these a little bit, because a part of the show here is what type of business structures are there. So that's kind of the next section.
Okay.
Maybe we should answer that first.
Okay. What kind of structures
are
there?
And then lead us back to this other question of, well, when do we need it? So there's four primary business structures. The first one is relatable to the individuals that have a hobby and hobbies, or the piano teacher, the one who sells their crafts at the
fair
that make jewelry, right? So these individuals may not have a quote unquote structure around their business. They are individuals selling something. Now, that individual would be under the same rules of taxing. They are required to report things to Washington State, and so. But this is called a sole proprietorship. So it means that the sole person is acting and conducting business. It might be in days past where the kid, I remember that I tried to start a lawn mowing company, but I lived in too small of a neighborhood, so it really didn't work. And then I found out that I really don't like mowing grass on hills, so I quit. but it's the kid who used to come to your door to say, can I mow your grass for $10? Mm. And that's a sole proprietorship. That is someone who is trying to create a skill or a product for in exchange for money. So services or product in exchange. But they don't ever go to Washington State or to any other state entity and formally create one of the other three entities, which is an LLC, an S corp, or a C corp. So the other two are corporations, but they're taxed differently. So we'll get into those in just a second.
Okay.
So it's this sole proprietorship. I just own a business. I sell something, and I even registered a name with Washington, but I just registered the name, the business name. So,
The term implies, you're just one person.
It's just you.
Yeah.
And now you can be just you in a more formal entity called a limited liability corporation, so an LLC. Now, this is the most common way nowadays to do business. There's also limited partnerships and stuff of this nature. So a sole proprietor or a partnership are kind of synonymous. It's a partnership is whenever two people say, we have a great idea, let's mow lawns together. So there's two people trying to make a business move forward. That's a partnership. But when you create an entity around you, that means you've actually formally gone to Washington State. You've actually formally turned in paperwork with the Secretary of State, and you've actually gotten something back from the Secretary of State that says now you have this thing called a limited liability corporation, an LLC. Mm. And that can be taxed in multiple different ways. That can be taxed as a pass-through entity, which means that you are a single person running an LLC. And that just means that all of the business expenses and all of the income land on my tax return. Mm. So that's one way that an LLC can be taxed. Another way an LLC can be taxed is as with partners. So that means two people are doing the same thing, but they split now the expenses and the income. They have to do a separate partnership return, tax return, but ultimately it lands back on their own personal returns as well. And then there's an S-corp. And an S-corp means that, again, it's a pass-through. So all the funds end up on your 1040 eventually, but that's a separate tax return again. And that's where we keep track of your expenses and your profits. But now there's the added there are additional boundaries that the IRS puts on us. You can only have so many individuals to become members of that entity. You can't have foreign partners, and there are other guidelines. You have to deem it to be an S corp. When you're an S corp, you have to be treated as part employee, but then all the other profits go through. So there's a myriad of reasons of why you may want to become an S corporation. Mm. And then we finally have this C corp. Okay. And in an LLC, you can be taxed as an S corp. Or as a C corp, or you can develop a very specific structure of an S corp or a C corp. Now, C corp are bigger entities, such as Microsoft and such as Starbucks and all the big companies. Anyone who is publicly traded is almost going to be a C corp. They have specific stock shares that people buy, but that doesn't mean they get to control the company. Mm. That doesn't mean they get to do anything. Now they get a voting share with when you purchase something. So if you purchase Microsoft stock, you actually get a voting right, but it just shows to the board members how they're supposed to vote. Mm. So all these different structures are out there. Now, which one is best for you? I don't know, because I haven't sat down with you. Mm. And, oh, by the way, I'm not a CPA. So there's a really big deal here, which is there can be the legal entity that I could help somebody speak into and what is the best legal structure to help form around you. And why would one entity give you better protections or less protections than a different entity? And then there is the taxing structure, which is a CPA's job. And so oftentimes I need to work in conjunction with a CPA to make a better assessment of someone's needs, of what structure is actually going to be best for them. I think in terms of protection. The CPA will think in terms of taxing and long-term taxing assessment for you. So when creating a business structure, most people just jump into one and they really have no idea of why they're creating it. They've heard that this is what they're supposed to do. But a wise opportunity would be to get your attorney together, whether it's a focused business attorney with your CPA and have a team effort make this critical decision. Because once you get into a business structure, there can be unfavorable taxing consequences to change to a different taxing system or a different organizational structure. So it's actually a bigger decision, and most people make it very laissez-faire. And they really walk into it not knowing what or why they should make one certain election over another. So if you're out there and you have a small business and it's just started and you've put, or you're growing something and it's just what you do, you're a sole proprietor or you have a partner who's building this and you need greater assistance, you should really have those two professionals speak into your specific situation and give you really sound advice of why a certain structure is needed over a different structure.
Okay, you can see this is a little complicated, but if you're a business owner, you're loving this. You are digging this. Businesses in estate planning, a needed discussion. If you want to have that discussion with Paul or about any other kind of estate planning, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it can all be found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And a very practical discussion this week, businesses in estate planning. Paul Grant, he's fired up about this subject. And if you're a business owner, yes, your estate needs to incorporate some business principles, some ideas, and we're talking about this week.
Yeah. And sorry, I may have bored some people there with different business structures. I wasn't trying to take you through a law school class
there. It is complicated, but I can see why a lot of people don't even want to touch this subject. But if you're saying, if you're a small business owner, this is essential.
It is.
To have this discussion and make a plan.
Yeah, yeah. And planning needs to start at the beginning when you have the business idea. And unfortunately, most don't give a lot of thought. They look at internet research and try to do it on their own because, well, when you start a business, you don't have much money oftentimes. And I understand the difficulty of being in that position. So, but yet, this is a very important decision in what type of a business you need to own. And so then that leads back to the first question that you asked, which is, well, when should I actually really consider starting a business? And where I get this question a lot is with individuals that have rental houses. So they may have a home that they purchased or a vacation home that they rent out to others. And I tend to look at things from a liability standpoint. Mm. A CPA is going to look at it through the taxing standpoint. So my first instinct as an attorney is to say, well, where are the potential gaps or where can you be threatened? And when we talk about businesses, some businesses have minimal exposure to liability. Mm. So somebody who's making the small carving and selling it at a craft store. Well, I guess maybe unless you're crafting swords or something, I don't know. But it's really hard to find the potential place where somebody could sue you and you could have a liability. Mm. Now, move forward to a manufacturing company or we're creating some type of a widget that could break, that could crumble, that could cause harm. Mm. Well, all of a sudden we see the difference in the potential opportunity where something could cause harm. So that's the first lens that I'm looking at is when someone asks me, should I create a business structure and put my business or my rental or other things into it? Is that a good thing? Well, number one, I don't know until I understand your specific circumstance. So as you can see, there's a lot of underlying questions that we would have to go through to determine what is your liability.
This sounds like it's kind of an insurance question.
Well,
what kind of insurance do you need?
And that you're correct. That's almost the first place that we always start with. What type of insurance do you have? And insurance is a great friend during our lifetime. A lot of people come to me with estate planning questions, specifically since I deal mostly in creating trusts. There's a false notion in the marketplace or through the internet or wherever people hear things that a trust can protect you. Well, that might be true if someone passes away, if that trust is designed properly and it's managed properly, it could protect people after you die. But during our lifetime, if I create the trust is not going to protect me. I need insurance. So you're 100% correct. Do we have proper home insurance? Do we have proper car insurance? So during our lifetime, insurance is one of our best friends. And it's a place where I would encourage most individuals to not skimp on, have higher car coverage rates and things of this nature. Why? Because driving your car is the most dangerous thing that, most people do. And it's you end up not stopping on time on that wet road in the Pacific Northwest one time, and you end up in the back of somebody's trunk, and it's a bad one. It's your fault. So you have a high probability.
You could lose your business.
Yeah, you could lose your business. You could lose your investments. You could stand to lose a lot if you have not put in proper insurance. Now, I don't sell insurance. I don't get paid for insurance. So it is not
but
the
it
area
is an
that
estate,
of my strength.
It is a consideration of a good estate.
It absolutely is. And so I have a lot of conversations with individuals about their specific insurance to ensure that they are properly protected. Again, I send them back to the professionals because I'm not a professional in insurance, but I know enough to make sure that it is properly around individuals. Do you have an umbrella coverage? Most individuals should have an additional umbrella coverage through their car insurance agency, or through their car insurance provider. So these are really important, and this is the place that we start. Many individuals own that second home or that vacation place where they rent it out. Well, one potential advantage, and again, I don't know if it's proper for you personally. So again, please never take information that is educational and just run with it. Sit down with an attorney of your choosing to make sure you get the right wisdom for you personally. But many people would have the advantage of an LLC wrapper. So what does an LLC do? How does that protect somebody? Well, technically, the theory in having a properly formed LLC and then putting a home in it as the asset is that if someone slipped and fell in the home and they blamed you for it, they grabbed a railing and that railing broke and then they stumbled down some stairs that you have. Technically, the LLC is intended to keep that harm or that incident within that LLC structure. So the harm cannot come back to grab you personally. Now, that's not always true. It's called piercing the corporate veil. There's ways that we can pierce that veil or that structure to reach out and actually grab someone personally, and there could be a liability to the owner. That's harder to do. So could an LLC be a proper thing to put around a rental? That's probably the most common thing I get.
What about multiple rentals? Oh, a lot of people have like six rentals.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of been their business.
Yeah.
They're a landlord.
Yes. And so then the potential question or discussion we might have if you walk into the office is, well, how much are the values of each of those homes? And if something happened, how many of those homes are you willing to lose? all at one time if the harm exceeds your insurance. So we start with insurance. You were exactly correct. But if the harm exceeds that, if somebody fell down the stairs and that one incident was bad, then how much are we willing to lose? I'm willing to lose two homes at a time. Great. Well, if you have six of them, then we're developing three LLCs. We're dropping two of them in there with each of them. I don't want to lose any of them. Well, then we're creating six LLCs, but then we start getting into administrative difficulties. The person's temperament, the individual needs, the ability for complication. Having six different LLCs is a complication and an administrative difficulty. Could it be someone's best protection? Sure. I don't know. It could be. But that's where you need to sit down with somebody, look at your specific circumstance, look at your specific situation, and whether or not it is time to build and create a structure around you. Now, there's other things that we can do with LLCs, which we'll get into our next shows, with how can we use those in estate planning to better create taxing opportunities and protection opportunities to the family. So businesses can be a very important structure for individuals. But what structure? I don't know. We need to have a conversation. Oftentimes, we need to get your CPA involved for the tax consequences, for a long-term tax assessment. But is it possible that somebody may need a new structure around themselves? The answer is yes. So get together with a trusted attorney, a business attorney, an estate planning attorney. Get together with your CPA. They oftentimes have those really strong taxing answers that we need in order to create the right protection mechanism around you. But I would encourage people to get the attorney and the CPA talking together and work as a team for your best interest.
Okay, getting that business into your estate plan, and that is what Paul wants to help you with. People need help. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, great stuff. It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.